Jesus was a working man and a hero you will hear. Born in the town of Bethlehem at the turning of the year, at the turning of the year. When Jesus was a little lad, streets rang with his name.
Welcome to Radio Free Canada. I'm your host, Kevin Annett. Welcome back. And I guess that's about sums it up, doesn't it? Why we're here and why we will always be here, and the cause of the people and God and what's right. It's that simple. We're here every Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time at bbsradio.com, Radio Free Canada. And I have with me, pleasure to have with me, two hosts today, Ryan Gable and Katie Stokwa. And I'm going to bring them on in a minute. I wanted to welcome especially our affiliates and listeners now in 21 countries. And the numbers keep growing every week, people. Thank you very much. And thanks for a lot of your good input that's been coming in. Especially during this coming week when Jorge Bergoglio, a.k.a. Pope Francis, will be in America. Arrives on Tuesday and will be here, well, originally till Sunday. But as we know, he cut his trip short when he found out there were going to be disruptions at the World Meeting of the Families in Philadelphia. People very upset about that child trafficking event, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. Before we do that, though, I just want to mention a couple of things in the news which are very relevant to what we're going to be talking about today. And again, a lot of this stuff can be found at itccs.org, the website of the tribunal. This last week, Interpol, the international police agency based in Brussels, did issue a copy of the arrest warrant for Pope Francis, Jorge Bergoglio, coming out of the International Common Law Court conviction of Jorge Bergoglio as a child trafficker and wanted war criminal for his actions in Argentina during the 1970s. Interpol issued a copy of that arrest warrant to the U.S. State Department. And not surprisingly, just today in the news, we saw that the Homeland Security Agency announced they were going to establish an unprecedented, this is their words, an unprecedented level of security for the Pope while he's in America. Well, why would that be unless there's an arrest warrant out for the guy? And they're very concerned, obviously, about this Interpol, possible Interpol intervention. So, this is not a light matter. Interpol has, over the last year, arrested over 1,000 child traffickers in Europe, partly based on the information of our tribunal and the court case that convicted Bergoglio. So, the forces are closing in on this so-called Pope, the Bergoglio faction in the Vatican, and we're going to be talking about all that today. So that's a little bit of the background to what we're going to be discussing. Let me bring on both Ryan and Katie first and say hi to them. Hi, folks. How are you doing?
Very good. Glad to be here. Glad to be speaking to you, Kevin, and Katie.
We're glad to have you, Katie, after a long absence, and look forward to your participation today.
Thank you.
Ryan, I know that you had some thoughts about what I mentioned.
I've got a lot of thoughts today, Kevin. There's a lot of things on my mind. We spoke before the show. Of course, we know this time of the year, September 23rd, is actually the final day of Mabon, which is the midpoint between the winter solstice and the summer solstice, a big sabbat on the yearly wheel. And this just happens to be the day where Jorge Bergoglio will be canonizing, as you mentioned, Junipero Serra, a missionary from the West Coast, a Franciscan friar who committed genocide against the natives. At one mission alone, Mission Dolores in San Francisco killed over 5,700 people. There's about 300, according to the mainstream news, that are still buried under the parking lot and offices of that church. Now, why this is important is because this 23rd of September, and all of the stuff that's kind of come together in the past couple of weeks, and you mentioned the security that's just ramped up after the sending over of this arrest warrant by Interpol, it just shows you the influence of the work that we do on these international criminal bodies. Most people still might not be aware, but the Roman Catholic Church has been designated as an international criminal body from an ICLCJ ruling, the International Common Law Court of Justice. And I think we could maybe start there today, maybe present a little bit of a history of the ICLCJ hearings and the convictions of not just Bergoglio, but also Pope Ratzinger, Pope Benedict. back in 2013. So maybe if we could start there, Kevin, I think that would be a really good place to begin this with.
Definitely. I want to provide that info to people. And I know I'm going to go back even further. I know we were going to, Katie had a question about the public exorcism that we performed in Rome and even before that court case, and that has relevance on this whole thing. So, Katie, we're going to get into that after this first thing about the court. And I also want to, for new listeners, I want to remind people some of what Ryan is referring to. This Wednesday, put it this way, this Tuesday, Bergoglio flies into Andrews Air Force Base in Washington. And the next day, he performs this canonization service in it's actually called the Basilica of the National Shrine of Immaculate Conception. That's at 400 Michigan Avenue Northeast in Washington, D.C. Now, our information has it that as part of the ceremony, he will be also be either be part of or even conducting the ritual of the Ninth Circle, in which two Aboriginal children are reputed to be slated for sacrificial killing. Now, these are two children, our sources tell us, were abducted from the Gila, that's G-I-L-A, Gila Indian Reservation in Arizona. And that name has significance, which we're going to talk about in a minute. The significance of that day too, Ryan and Katie, is it's Yom Kippur, the 23rd of September. This Wednesday is the holiest ritual day in the Jewish religion. Yom Kippur is called the Day of Atonement. It's a blood sacrifice ritual. It comes from a Hebrew word, korban, which means to sacrifice. Basically, in order to approach God at this holy time of year, a blood sacrifice is needed. And it's either animals or children in that traditional culture. And it's, in other words, their blood is required ritualistically as part of their religious service. So it's institutionalized murder, and it's happening on Yom Kippur, the very day that this canonization service is happening. So again, that's no coincidence.
It's blood of the innocent that is a repentance for the blood of the guilty.
That's right. And again, you could look at the whole genocide as exactly that. They needed people to expiate the sins of European Catholicism, so they would wipe out anybody who is appropriate sacrifice. In this case, like you mentioned, thousands of Native people in California. And that's why Bergoglio himself, in referring to this Junipero Serra, who ran these genocidal plantations, he says, quote, "We are inspired by his zeal," unquote. You know, the zeal of killing thousands of people, it shows you the value system of the so-called Pope. But it comes out of, all of this evidence is well documented. And for folks, again, who don't know, a lot of this evidence is up online at itccs.org. There were two common law court cases conducted in 2012 and 13 by the International Common Law Court of Justice based in Brussels, involving 58 citizen jurors. They looked at hard evidence involving genocide in Canada and also international child trafficking. And among those convicted were Jorge Bergoglio, Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and Adolfo Pichon, the former head of the Jesuits. Well, he's still head officially, but he's stepping down. In fact, he announced his resignation within 2 weeks of us naming him in our first indictment, the same indictment that eventually found Bergoglio guilty. Now, the evidence they looked at in finding Bergoglio guilty wasn't just about the child trafficking and the sacrificial rituals in the Ninth Circle, which have been attested to by two especially prominent witnesses who were present at these rituals, killings when they happened, and they saw Bergoglio take part in them. Anne-Marie von Billenberg, Tos Nienhaus, and two other women who weren't willing to come forward publicly, but who were present when these cult ritual killings were occurring in Belgium and in Holland. But it's also the evidence involved Bergoglio's role during the dirty wars in Argentina, and there's a lot of evidence about this, including statements of his former priests, journalists, and even a former cabinet minister in Argentina who gave eyewitness testimonies to the tribunal where he said that he saw Bergoglio present at the meetings where the military dictators, General Videla and others, were planning how to wipe out their opponents and how to traffic the children of political prisoners, which, in fact, Bergoglio did as head of the Catholic Church in Argentina. Now, these are all war crimes, and yet this war criminal is being feted and dined by first President Obama and then the United Nations and the U.S. Congress, who Bergoglio is going to address. So if that isn't complicity in war crimes, tell me what is.
Not to mention that they make the American taxpayers fit the bill for his security, one of the richest, wealthiest corporations on the planet, running drugs, guns, and children, and the American taxpayer who can barely pay for food has to pay for their security. They actually had a big story in the news here, Kevin, in America, that the Department of Homeland Security, spending billions of dollars, was able to thwart this attempt on Bergoglio, attempt that might go down on Bergoglio, is a 15-year-old kid. So we put all of these billions of dollars of resources to stop this 15-year-old kid, and they just make a big joke about it in the media, like they stood up and they protected this holy religious man.
Well, I mean, you know, these stories of 15-year-olds, you know, it's like we've had so much of this BS ever since 9/11 that I think a lot of people see through it now. But Katie, let me ask, you know, you did have some questions about the events of 2009 and the exorcism film, which let's get to
it. Listeners who are not aware, you Kevin, did an exorcism on October the 11th, 2009, the day before the big tornado hit Rome. And my question to you about that was, what led to the exorcism that you performed? And, you know, and did you personally feel or perceive like a spiritual presence that day when you performed the exorcism?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny the way it happened. Like a lot of these things that have happened in this whole campaign over 20 years, I almost just stumbled into it. I went over there with an invitation. There was two groups in Italy that had invited me to come and speak, including a political party in the Democratic Party in the Italian Parliament. One of their senators, in fact, sponsored a meeting in which I met the media and everything. Because of the fact that we're flagging genocide of Aboriginal people, which is a big interest over there, I remember one of the Italian politicians said, look, Christopher Columbus came from our country originally, from Genoa. We feel a responsibility for the genocide that happened. You know, so that was kind of the basis of me being invited. But when I came, I brought with me the soil from a grave, a mass grave of a Catholic residential school in British Columbia. And I intended to have like some kind of ceremony to honor the dead children there. But when I went to St. Peter's Square that morning, I had some friends there with me. This kind of new idea came over me. I thought, look, we are here to really confront this demon spirit that's responsible for not just what happened to Native people, but, I mean, my ancestors in Europe who were hunted down and killed by the Catholic Church for being Protestants. I mean, it happened to so many different groups around the world at the hands of the Vatican that I really felt that kind of spirit took over me and said, we have to speak to that thing in this dome here that caused it. So kind of out of the blue, it just developed as an exorcism ritual in which I just called on this spirit of lies and death to reveal itself. And that's always stage one in an exorcism. You get the entity to expose itself and to name itself, because there's the power in a name. That's a whole other thing we can get into. But what happened when I was doing it, when you talk about spiritual presence, it was very strange. I expected to be overwhelmed by that sense of being in front of the Vatican, right? But I shut my eyes, and it almost felt like there was nothing there. Like it was this non-entity, just kind of this nothingness I was facing. And so I stood there in St. Peter's Square, and I didn't expect this to happen because it's one of the most monitored places in the world. There's TV cameras, there's Vatican security, there's Rome police about every 10 feet. And then I'm standing there in my regalia. I'm doing a full-on ceremony, and these people walk right past me like I'm not there. Like I said later to the people I was with, it was like I was invisible or something, because I would have been normally detained. Other people who do ceremonies and other protests right at St. Peter's Square, they're grabbed right away.
It's quite heavily guarded.
Oh, it's heavily guarded. As a matter of fact, there were 13 Aboriginal grandmothers who tried to do the same thing just a few years before, and they were immediately taken away by Vatican security. So anyway, I did this whole thing there untouched, and like you said, the next day, well, a number of interesting things happens. The tornado hits Rome the next morning, first time in over 40 years, And that same day, later in the day, the European newspapers start talking. The very first story of the guy who was then Pope, Joseph Ratzinger, the first story about his personal involvement in covering up child abuse in Germany as a bishop, that breaks the next day in the media. And all of this stuff starts happening, and literally it leads to a lot of these things that have been opening recently. So talk about spiritual impact. Yes, there was something definitely working through me, and it's been opening a lot of these doors for sure.
Beautiful.
And that's the continued energetic influence that we're still having today, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, look what happened the other day when it was made known that there was going to be an attempt by some of the people we know in Philadelphia. They're going to go into this world meeting of families and raise a ruckus because of how literally it's being named by insiders as a place where child traffickers meet under the guise of, you know, family meetings. This is a fairly common occurrence. And the Vatican got wind of that, and the next thing they knew is they announced that the Pope's visit is going to be cut short, and because Philadelphia is the last place he's going to be. So, I mean, none of this is accidental.
Yeah, it must just be a coincidence. I think people just don't even really put the two and two together. I have a story here, though, I wanted to read you, Kevin, just a very quick little piece from the New York Times. This man named Dan Ogrodowski. I think he's about maybe in his 30s or 40s now, maybe 40s, maybe even 50s. I'm not sure. But he says that when he was a child in Milwaukee, there was a priest that raped him repeatedly. And he's kept silent for quite a few years. And now with Pope Francis taking his first trip into the United States, Dan, along with others, have called on the Vatican to stop just talking and stop saying that, oh, we have zero tolerance, and actually do something about these priests and actually bring some people to justice. And when Benedict came back in 2008, he had a meeting with some of these victims. And I'm not sure exactly, maybe you can comment on this, I'm not sure exactly if there's a meeting like that directly planned with Bergoglio when he comes to the United States. And if it is, in this case, they're saying that they would want to do it all behind closed doors. So there's no media, there's no cameras, nobody knows what's going on. Just take these kids, take these adults who were abused as kids into a private room with the Pope and some security, and they'll smooth things over. My thoughts was that's how this started in the first place. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, you know, we'll get Katie's remarks, too, if you want to jump in at any point, Katie.
Well, I mean, it's absurd. Like, are you going to feel safe going into, you know, a private meeting, close quarters with the perpetrator? Like, it's absurd.
Exactly.
You know, this is a common thing they do, and it's kind of like on a small scale what the Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission did when we exposed genocide. They get in behind it. Under the law, they indemnify themselves, it's called. So they can't be taken to court for anything. They work out a deal with the victims. Sign on the dotted line, we'll give you money, but you got to shut up and never sue us. And that's, in fact, what he's doing behind closed doors. They did the same thing in Ireland. As a matter of fact, the Irish government, when all this stuff was breaking about, you know, even the top cardinal, Sean Brady, who also stepped down after we mentioned this in the media, he played a direct role in buying off all the victims of the Magdalene laundries and all these places. Kids were being worked to death and killed by the Catholic Church, not just raped, but killed. They made a deal, inside deal, that the like with the natives in Canada, some of you will get some money, the rest of you have to shut up, and you're never going to be able to prosecute us. That's exactly what they're doing. So it's like the perpetrator, like Katie said, perpetrator re-traumatizing the victim and making themselves look good in the process and getting away without having to do a day in jail. Well, that all that is a violation of international law, and the point is, it doesn't matter what the Catholic Church does anymore. They're a convicted criminal body. They have lost the right to govern. They've lost the right to have money. Anyone who puts money in a collection plate is committing a crime with that church. And people have the right to go in and seize those assets because they're being used for criminal purposes. So let's talk turkey here, right?
Yeah, it actually reminds me, after September 11th, there was this dual American-Israeli citizen named Kenneth Feinberg who was put in charge through the federal government and the Bush administration of this $7 billion treasure trove for the victims' families. And what basically the government did was they said, okay, you guys, who lost a father, a mother, an aunt, an uncle, you know, the primary breadwinners in almost all of these cases. They said you can take a check or you can lodge a formal protest and try to start a court case to bring these people that caused this event to justice. And of course, 97% of the people took the payout. That's the kind of payoff that we're talking about in this case as well.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, Katie, we've talked about this a lot with Native people in Canada. The pressure on people not to go to court. You know, if you're ostracized by your own community if you try suing these churches, because they know that by rehashing this stuff, it's going to raise stuff that's going on today, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's the primary reason they didn't
this out. There's also the unseen hand at play as well, where they're offering you a financial settlement, but behind the scenes as well, what the public don't see is the threatening of your life, your family. Right. Like Kevin, you're saying you talk about being ostracized. The Truth and Reconciliation Committee is, I mean, it's a complete whitewash. And I know so many stories where, you know, people's homes have been literally burnt down for, you know, going one way, and when in fact, you know, the natives don't care about the money. They want justice. Yeah, and so there's this unseen hand at play as well that the public don't see. And, of course, you're not going to hear it in the news.
Right. Now, I wanted to use that as a moment to mention. Remember earlier I mentioned this Gila, or G-I-L-A, Gila Indian Reservation in Arizona, where reputedly these two children are being brought for these Ninth Circle rituals to take place in D.C. this Wednesday. According to some of our sources, the children at this Indian reservation, like many reservations across Turtle Island or North America, they're being treated by their own chiefs. The tribal council foster care system and child protection systems are the ones providing the children. So this child trafficking is going on right in the native community, and that's often how they can get away with it.
Yeah, at the Gila Indian Reservation in Arizona, Kevin, I want to get Katie's take on this because she's been sending me some emails dealing with the Planned Parenthood debacle here in the United States. And what I did was I had went back and did some research on a lot of these videos that came out about Planned Parenthood selling aborted fetal tissue and making profit off of it, which is a felony in each individual case. And what I found was that a lot of the tissue that was being taken and given to laboratories for experimentation, etc., the tissue that they actually took was from the brain, and they took these cells that were called glial cells that basically provide assistance to neurons in the central nervous system, and the abbreviation for the glial cells, which are extracted from an aborted fetal. Aborted fetal tissue, aborted infant,
right,
are actually called Gila. They're actually, it's the same name as the Indian Reservation, and all of this happens at the same time as Bergoglio makes his way to the United States. He says all mothers now will be able to be forgiven for having an abortion. Not a coincidence. Katie, what do you think about that?
Yeah, you're very astute, Ryan. Like, you're very clever in connecting those dots. Like, they're not like incidences that are isolated. I think that you're right on. Like, I don't believe there's no such thing as coincidence in the first place.
Katie, we're getting a bit of feedback. Sorry, we're getting a bit of feedback from your phone. I'm not sure why, but just so you know.
Okay.
We are at near the bottom of the hour. I want to come back to this. Hold that thought. And we're going to come back and talk about last half hour, some of the bigger issues. We've got another song coming up by Floats. We'll be right back.
To our authorities, say the canons of Christianity, cry the canons of Christianity.
And we're back. This is Kevin Annett with Ryan and Katie on Radio Free Canada. We're here till the top of the hour. And that's dear old Phil Oakes singing. He's another one of our brothers who got taken out in 1975, so-called suicide. Voice of the 60s, really, a great voice. And, of course, his voice is still alive. It shows you that no crucifixion can keep a good man down. So we were talking about the, Ryan, your point about the, and by the way, I'm sorry about the technical feedback there. I hope you guys heard what we were saying. Ryan, you were talking about these glial cells that are being used, once you kind of pick up where we left off there, and how it's related, we think, to this Gila Indian Reservation connection.
Yeah, sure thing, Kevin. First of all, is my microphone coming through much clearer?
Yes, heard you fine.
All right, perfect. So what I was saying is that the aborted fetal tissue that's being extracted out of infants, this has been going on for a long, 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 long time. Legally, it's allowed to be done for research purposes, but Planned Parenthood has been selling the tissue for profit, which is a felony in each individual case. A couple of years ago, PepsiCo actually got busted using diploid cells that come out of kidneys that are taken out of aborted fetals, fetal tissue. It's kind of like a, they basically harvest the organs after the baby is born. They do a different variety of abortions, but they take these cells out of the liver, they put them in food and drinks as part of what I've seen as almost a mass sacrifice. And as people, I talk to people about this, I did shows on it, and the reaction I get is that's not possible. Why would a company use aborted, you know, cells in our food and our drinks? That's disgusting.
And you had this pegged, Ryan. You had this pegged like 4 years before the Planned Parenthood even came out and started, you know, before the bottom fell out. You were talking about it, and people would say, "Oh, you're nuts, you're crazy," and you were right. You were correct. This is what they were doing.
I appreciate that recognition because, yeah, I've been talking about this for a long time, and that it's now admitted that the cells that they're taking out of these aborted babies, they're called glial cells. They basically provide assistance to neurons in the central nervous system. So when they abort a baby or when the baby's born alive, they keep it in these Planned Parenthood clinics and harvest it. They'll extract these cells out of the brain, and they have a nickname for these cells, Kevin. Glial cells, spelled G-L-I-A-L, are actually called Gila cells, G-I-L-A, the exact name of the Indian reservation where these children were taken from in Arizona. And, of course, if everybody before the break there maybe had a little bit of an issue hearing me, this also ties in with Jorge Bergoglio coming to America and telling all priests that they now have the ability to forgive mothers for having abortions. I think this is all tied in together. I think it's part of a much more intricate web, and it's no different than when this first broke, and I talked to you about this, Kevin, that they were harvesting these baby organs. The head of Planned Parenthood, Cecil Richards, the distraction, this woman's been to the White House 39 times since Obama took office, and since then, since this story broke, all we hear about is Cecil the Lion. Is that not a coincidence that the head of Planned Parenthood, Cecil Richards, who should be the biggest news story in the United States right now, has been overtaken by other stories, including one about a lion named Cecil? Here's the wordplay, and we know, Kevin, that the Vatican, and we know that these criminals like to use that wordplay, which is why, going back to what you guys were talking about earlier with Junipero Serra, what did the church say about Serra? They said he was, quote, a man of his time when it came to genocide. They didn't admit it, but it's a type of passive admittance. Go ahead and I'll digress.
They don't disagree with that genocide either. They admire it. They're inspired by his zeal, to quote the Pope. Now, the Gili Indian Reservation is very important. This place has been named a number of times by different sources, including a woman who was raised in a satanic ritual abuse network. Now, the fact that these children are being used in a Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, sacrificial ritual in which the blood of the innocent will expiate the sins of the others, this is not accidental. It's part of this whole cult ritual murder system called Roman Catholicism. And, you know, this is not an attack on anyone's religion. This is an attack on a murderous cult. And people have got to think about the fact that when you put money in those collection plates, people, you're contributing to murder. It's that simple. So I want to read also a letter which we got this last week. And it's from the St. James Regional Catholic School in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. Now, that's quite near Philadelphia. And do you remember that the Philadelphia police and the mayor, a guy called Nutter, that really is his name, Mayor Nutter in Philadelphia, said that the city was going to be in a lockdown, and that's the word they use, lockdown, when the Pope is in town. Well, we partly know why, to protect their criminal activities. But here's the letter from this Mrs. Barbara Burke, principal of the school, this Catholic school. It's a letter to parents sent out this last month. It said, "These are difficult times in our world. I know with the threat of terror and its possible repercussions, you're concerned for your children's safety. Let me acquaint you with the meaning of lockdown. It's a situation where, quote, no one is permitted in or out of the building. In a lockdown situation, you will not be permitted to come to school to pick up your child or children. The police or fire personnel will be assigned to guard each school in the district. So guess what, folks? When the Pope is in town, you can't access your kids at school." Doesn't that sound familiar? Gee, I wonder what's going to be going on there.
Coincidence.
Another coincidence, folks. There we go. So that's right out of the horse's ass or mouth. You know how you want to see it.
You know, there's so many things that have just built up, Kevin, that if you look at them in an isolated instance, like if you look at that letter or if you look at the Planned Parenthood issues or you look at the Pope forgiving abortions or if you look at the security detail that's been built up, it doesn't really look like anything much. But when you put all the dots together, when you connect all those dots, you see that this is really all a matter of the influence that we've been able to have by simply speaking the truth and by simply bringing information that is factual to the public light and just continuing to push it into that public light rather than just backing off when nobody wants to hear it. And regardless if 1, 2, 10, or 1,000 people want to deny it or want to believe it, the truth is the truth regardless of people's beliefs. So you have all of these witnesses, you have all of this evidence, you've got videos of the mush hole in Canada. And as all of this unfolds, we begin to see that we've made a substantial amount of progress. And I think if we continue to push, we can make that much more progress. The more progress we make, I think the more ability we have to make even more progress even faster.
Well, I also want to say that the people who have to push are all of those listening out there. And when you hear this, go to itccs.org. Go to the posting, which you'll find on August 27th at itccs.org. If you scroll down a bit, you're going to see a list of where Bergoglio is appearing, and there's 10 different places where people plan to protest or have exorcism ceremonies or things like that. One of them, of course, being outside this canonization service in Washington, D.C., outside the House of Representatives, where he'll be speaking, St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York, places like that, also outside the United Nations on Friday, September 25th. But he will be visiting school children in Philadelphia. That's, you know, if you are a part of a child trafficking network, you want to look over the wares, don't you? You want to pick out children who might be promising, fodder. So, yes, you want the schools locked down. This is part of their whole pattern. On September 25th, at 4 p.m., he's also speaking at Our Lady Queen of Angels School in Harlem. So I know some of the Harlem parents are going to be out there saying, why should a child trafficker be allowed to speak to children at a Catholic school that day? So please go to itccs.org, pick the event you want to come at to protest or hold any kind of witness at. Do not let this criminal walk around unscathed in America. You have an obligation, people.
Kevin, I think it's important to flag something. I'd like to get you and Katie's take on this. If you look at the origins of Catholicism, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, whatever, you go back to the beginning and they really all spring from different perspectives on the same type of belief. A lot of it arises out of paganism. Ritual sacrifice, which is being basically done in the name of the destructor, was originally done in the name of the creator, the goddess, female force. And what the church has basically done as a political force in the world, because the Vatican is one of the most powerful sovereign states on the planet, as a political state, not as a religious state. So if you look at it from that perspective, it has nothing really to do with religion. They basically hide behind these religious beliefs. They hide behind people's naivety, and they are able to operate the largest criminal operation, a real mafia on the planet, running everything from narcotics to guns to children and making billions of dollars in the meantime. And like you said, every time you go to church and you put a couple of dollars in that collection plate, you are helping to collude in those crimes. It's not about religion. It's about a political state masquerading as a religious institution and being able to operate all of these criminal syndicates under the name of God. And people are naive and believe that it has to do with God, so they might as well just let him do whatever they want.
Well, I know, you know, Katie, you've had experiences trying to inform people in your community. And, you know, the mentality of your average church person is, well, what does this have to do with me? I'm just coming to church and, you know, meeting my friends and singing hymns, and really it has nothing to do in their mind with any of these crimes, even though they're maintaining the whole system.
Yeah. Well, when I found out about the whole crimen solicitanus, and I wrote a letter and to the wardens and the minister, and when that fell on deaf ears and emails weren't answered, I just went right to the congregation. And the people's reaction could never have prepared me for what I thought was going to happen. Like, this is, I guess, this cognitive dissonance that I keep bumping up against, because people don't want to hold the mirror up to their own, you know, face and look at, you know, the reality, the truth that you're contributing to. When you put money in the collection plates, you're contributing. You're funding, help pay for the lawyers that Kevin helped with, you know, your divorce and taking your kids away. Like, the congregants are helping, and they just don't want to see it. They can't, or they don't want to.
Yeah, they were treating you like you had done something wrong by just telling them the truth.
Yeah. It's just incredible the reactions that you get. But you know, I'm the type that, I know better, I'm going to do better, and I would like to think that once you know, it just isn't the case across the board.
Well, you know, like Ryan said, we are having an impact big time. We don't even see it most of the time, but you can see it. Five top officials, including the Pope, all resign after being named in our indictments. I mean, obviously it's connected. I remember one of the times we occupied one of the Anglican churches in Vancouver, me and some of the downtown native folks. A member of the priest came out all irate, and he said, we had gone in the week before, and he said, we lost 50 members after you did that, after you handed out your information. 50 people never came back. And I said to him, well, that's a good start. We'll be back again. You know, I mean, it has an impact. People do have a conscience, and they vote with their feet. And we do know these major churches are on the decline. I want to throw out a quote from one of my favorite guys, Sun Tzu, the Chinese general from 2,500 years ago, who wrote this book, The Art of War. And he said, when an enemy commander has to give continual reassurances to his own troops, he has lost his power, and he's lost. And what is Bergoglio doing but trying to reassure everybody what a nice institution the Catholic Church is? That's a sign of people who've lost or are losing their power. The very fact they have to run after the governments of the world for this kind of protection, they have lost their power. And I do believe, Katie, when you talked about what was spiritually present in Rome, I sense the collapse happening. You know, the divine has brought about the collapse spiritually of this Church of Rome. We are just watching them trying to pick up the pieces. It's already happened. It's been accomplished. It's like what Sun Tzu says. You establish the ground and you can't lose. We established the ground and they had to respond, and they are losing as a result. So I look at this now as not so much what we attack as what we build up now. And I hope in the coming weeks we'll be able to talk about that on the air. What are we going to create to replace this? What spiritual and other witnesses do we have to hold to bring about the kind of world that we need, where children aren't going to be harmed in this way and this kind of religious hypocrisy can be done away with?
What do you think is the first step? We talk about this almost every week. What is the first step, though, Kevin, maybe for new listeners, how we can start that transition?
Well, detachment, I think, you know, pulling out at every level the system. We're not just talking religious hypocrisy here and genocide. We're talking at every level. We're talking about the same machine, this corporatocracy that's running the planet. There are no political systems anymore. It's one big corporate system. And ironically, it was a system established by Mussolini and the Pope in 1929. You know, they called it fascism, but it was really the first corporate state. And that state now exists globally. You know, and we have to pull out and create something different. In the Republic of Canada, we're, and I wanted to mention that website to people, we haven't yet, canadarepublic.ca. We're trying to set up a model in Canada that really can work anywhere. And that is common law-based republics where people reclaim their sovereignty as people, pull your kids out of the system, especially now that across America and Canada, they are requiring proof of mandatory vaccination before you can even register your child in the school system, in kindergarten. Reason enough right there to homeschool your kids. Pull out. Do not register them at birth. Yeah, go ahead.
And one idea with pertaining to that, Kevin, pulling your kids out is if you take it on in big chunks, it's overwhelming. If you look at it like just within your neighborhood, for example, and you get a couple of friends together and you educate them about the vaccinating of children in order for them to go to school, they have to be vaccinated. And then you take that and you go out into your neighborhood. Well, do you want your, you know, the first ingredient of a vaccination is mercury, and so you want to pull your children out from the system. Like if it's hard to do it alone, but if you get together within your community. And let's say you have one person who's skilled in math or history and English, and you just have a bunch of community volunteers getting together to homeschool your kids collectively, just within your own community, so it's not falling on just on one person. Like it's something so simple that you can do just with your own. Within your own neighborhood.
And I wanted to use that, Katie, what you're saying, to notify our listeners that now that Bergoglio will be in America and by next week he'll be gone, we're going to shift the focus of our program for the next number of weeks to the upcoming federal so-called election in Canada on October 19th, and why people should not be voting, because it's an act of treason, giving your authority to political representatives of a foreign monarch called Queen Elizabeth, because that's who they're pledge of allegiance to when you elect someone to the Canadian Parliament. It isn't to the people, it's to the Queen of England. The alternative we're talking about that we're going to be discussing over the next number of shows is, as they're trying to do in Ontario, in the movement for the Republic of Canada, convene local people's assemblies, which can establish these common law courts, that can set up the community infrastructure you're talking about, Katie, where we can pull our energy out of the system and create something new, where we can reclaim the land, and, you know, do the kinds of things that we all know in our gut we have to do but cannot do through the present system, which really drains us of everything. So start reclaiming your energy is the first step.
Kevin, I wanted to make sure everybody out there knows that tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on the L&M Radio Network, my show, The Secret Teachings, will be airing. The first hour and a half of that show, I have a guest, Dr. Nancy Appleton, but in the second half of that program, I actually am going to be airing last week's episode of Radio Free Kannada, which was a fantastic episode of yourself and myself talking about the canonization of Junipero Serra. We talked about Bergoglio's coming visit and all aspects relating to it. That will be airing tonight for all to hear. And you can find a link to that at thesecretteachings.info, as well as a link to itccs.org.
Great, Ryan. Thank you. And also, just to flag for people, don't forget that the Interpol sent a copy of the standing citizen arrest warrant against Pope Francis Jorge Bergoglio that was issued in 2014 by the International Common Law Court of Justice. It's a standing arrest warrant, which means any court can enforce it. Any police, any citizen can act on it. And so if Interpol insists that America take some kind of action on this, and that means the American police can arrest Bergoglio as a convicted war criminal, you know, it has power to do that, and it would create a lot of diplomatic and political embarrassment, even if they don't act on it. As, you know, community organizer Saul Alinsky once said, the threat of an action is often as potent as the action itself. That's why Bergoglio is cutting short his visit. He doesn't want to face any kind of embarrassment or citizen arrest. We have great power standing on this kind of truth and provoking the beast in that way. It's worked in the past. We forced Canada to admit genocide. We forced resignations of popes using that method. So let's keep our eyes on this situation, folks. It isn't at all hopeless.
Absolutely. Kevin, I wanted to thank you for another great show as always. Katie, good to talk to you today. Interesting perspectives. I appreciate the recognition for my research into the Planned Parenthood and the using of these glial Gila cells and diploid cells. Most people haven't really kind of come to that realization yet. And I look forward to next week, Kevin. I think that we can really start to turn the tide after this visit. We've already seen that Bergoglio will be leaving early anyway to avoid that embarrassment. And due to that fact, that should give us and all of our listeners and supporters that much more power and passion to continue to fight. And the more people we get, the more of an influence and more damage we can have to this international criminal body known as the Church of Rome.
That's right. Thank you, Ryan and Katie, as always. Thank you. It's great to have you back on the air. We'll be back next week, 6 p.m. Eastern. Follow us, itccs.org, kanatarepublic.ca. Everybody stay strong and stay clear.